Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. Why we pray before we open the Bible? It's so that we can have Jesus' Holy Spirit inside of us and to help us to understand what He wants to teach us. So let's go ahead and let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, open our eyes so that we can see the lessons that You want us to learn today. We love You. Amen. Hello, boys and girls. We have been studying the story of Lazarus. And as we study, we have been learning what the Bible says about death. And today is no exception. You know, there are a lot of people that are afraid of dying, or they're afraid what happens after you die. But did you know that the Bible shows us that we don't have to be afraid? That there's nothing to be afraid of if we trust Jesus and if we have given our lives to Him? Let's go ahead and let's continue with this story that we have been learning about. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. Now, we're not going to be there quite yet, but I want you to be prepared. So open your Bibles up to John chapter 11. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. John is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And today we're going to be in John chapter 11. Once you're at chapter 11, we're going to be in verse 7, but not quite yet. Well, Lazarus was very, very sick, if you remember from last time. His sisters had been sure that Jesus would come and help them, but the messenger they sent had come back without Jesus. But He had sent a message. So do you think they were afraid, or were they trusting Him? They were trusting Him. They were hoping that Jesus would still come. Then Lazarus's heart stopped. He stopped breathing. Their precious brother was dead. Oh, they were so sad. Well, the disciples couldn't understand why Jesus hadn't helped his friends. They kept thinking about Lazarus, but for two whole days, Jesus didn't even mention him. He didn't even talk about him. They remembered that Jesus hadn't saved the life of John the Baptist either. Didn't He care when His loyal friends were in trouble? Once again, they started doubting. But did the sisters doubt? Mary and Martha? Well, they were back in Bethany. And even though Jesus didn't come, and even though their hearts were broken, and they didn't understand why Jesus hadn't come, they still did not have any doubts as to who He was or if He loved Lazarus. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and they still loved and trusted Him. It's really hard when something bad happens to not blame God. Why didn't God stop this? Couldn't God have done something? It would have been easy for Mary and Martha to do the same thing. Why wasn't Jesus here? Why didn't He come when we needed Him? If He were here, my brother would not have died. You'll see Mary and Martha both said that later on. Many, many years ago, my husband was taking a break from his work and having a nice, relaxing weekend, and he decided that he was going to go for a walk and read a book. He was walking along reading out of a book, and he walked down one street and up the other and kept walking, and he came to the end of a street, and there was this retaining wall, a block wall, that he decided to jump up onto. It was about 3 feet high, or 1 meter high. So he jumped up on it, and he was walking along, balancing, and reading his book. I bet you know where this is going, don't you? About halfway along the wall, there was a bush that had grown out over the wall. Well, he could jump down, go around the bush, and jump back up, but being my husband, he decided that he was going to jump over. After all, the bush wasn't that big. So that's what he did. He jumped over the bush, and he didn't make it. He fell to the ground, and as he fell, he reached out to catch himself, and he landed on his wrist. It hurt so bad. He could hear the bones crunch, and he knew he was in trouble. So holding his hand to his chest, he hurried home, and they took him to the doctor, and it turned out that his wrist was broken. It was many, many weeks of somebody having to tie his shoes for him, somebody having to iron his clothes for him, somebody having to help him with different things and different chores. It was not easy. It was also a lot of pain. It was inconvenient, and it was very easy for him to say, "Why, God? Why me?" But even though bad things happen, God can still bring good. Because of this situation, when he was working, he met a woman who had broken the exact same arm that he had. They were able to connect and talk about what had happened, and he was able to make friends with her, and she was able to learn more about Jesus because of that connection. It helped him to have more sympathy. Ever since then, now, whenever he meets somebody that's broken their arm, or he's with somebody who has a broken arm, he's able to connect and to understand better what it's like to go through that pain and the inconvenience. Just because something bad happened and God allowed that to happen, there still have been good things that have come out of it. That's the same thing with Mary and Martha. Even though something bad had happened to their brother, they still loved and they still trusted God because they knew that God is bigger than any problem and he can bring good out of any bad situation. Now we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 11. You should already be there. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 11. Then we're going to go to verse 7. John chapter 11, verse 7. That rhymes, doesn't it? What does John chapter 11, verse 7 say?
"Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'"
What did Jesus say that they were going to do? He told the disciples they were going to Judea. Now remember, they had been sitting there going, has he just forgotten about his friend? No, Jesus didn't forget. Jesus never forgets. But the disciples were even more puzzled now than they had been before. They knew that many of Jesus' enemies lived in Judea, near Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. So what did they say in verse 8?
"The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?'"
They were wondering, why are we going there? We're just going to be stoned. What? Why should we go there? But was Jesus afraid? No, he wasn't. He said that when we follow our Heavenly Father's plan, it's like walking in safety in the daytime and not in the dark. Then Jesus said something else that his disciples couldn't understand. So let's look at verse 9 through 15. Whew, those are a lot of verses. So we're going to read 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Let's see what those say.
Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he will not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him."
Jesus told them that Lazarus was sleeping. Did you know that that's what the Bible calls death? The Bible explains death as a sleep. Just look at verse 11. Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps." Well, the disciples are like, "That's great. If he's sleeping, then that means that he's getting better." But then Jesus clarified, and he said, "Lazarus is dead." Have you ever gone to sleep at night? And when you go to sleep, if you don't have any dreams, the next thing you know is when you wake up. That is just like death. When we die, it's just like going to sleep. Psalm 13 verse 3 says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." So the psalmist is calling death a sleep. That's not the only place that the Bible talks about death being like a sleep. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2, here's what it says. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." This is talking about when Jesus comes, those who are dead are going to be able to live with Jesus forever. Isn't that exciting? They will get to live with him. So even though people on this earth die, if we love Jesus, that doesn't have to be the end. It will be like we are sleeping and we're not awake. When Jesus comes, we will wake up and we will live with him forever. So is death something that we have to be afraid of? Not if we love Jesus. Death is just like a sleep. And when Jesus comes, and when you love Jesus, he wakes you up when he comes to take you to live with him forever in heaven. What wonderful promises that the Bible gives us. What hope we can have. Aren't you glad? I am so glad that even though it looks like Satan might win and people die and bad things happen, that God is in control. He loves us and he is going to make all things right in the end. Let's pray and thank him. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your promises that when you come, those who love you and are dead, you will call and they will wake up and live with you forever. Lord, we want to be with you in your kingdom. Go with us today. Help us to walk step by step with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our memory verse song together as we close.
All who are in the grave will hear his voice, will hear his voice. All who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. All who are in the grave will hear his voice, will hear his voice. All who
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.